شراب ای گذشته ز جان در ره هدف، چون نجات انسان شعار توست، مرگ در راه حق افتخار توست.
اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. The discussion is regarding someone who has touched all our lives directly or indirectly, and that we are still taking benefit of his being and his being alive. We just want to thank Allah for making us a witness. We just want to thank Allah for making us a witness and letting us be alive in the same time and era as Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi. We also thank Allah for letting us taste Islam and obedience under wilayat. This is something that doesn't happen easily. That is very rare. And in order for you to reach that stage of obedience under wilayat, it takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of trials to reach that situation. And this is what I want to explain in a few words today, if you can understand what it means, because I am speaking to those people who are aware and those people who have ma'rifat. All of you who are one of us. So that's why I want to speak openly and say things that is a reflection of our heart, so that we understand what it means. I'm sure that you all know the meaning of wilayat. How many of you know the meaning of wilayat? Don't be afraid, you can raise your hands. I won't ask you, don't worry, I won't put you on the spot. Right? Wilayat very simply means that you understand and accept the fact that there's someone above you who's making decisions for you. That's what it is. You accept the fact that you have someone who is your superior. Someone who makes a decision for you. Allah is our wali. Allah is the wali of the believers. Right? The Prophet is the wali of the believers. Imam is the wali of the believers. What does that mean? It means that they are superior to me. They can make a decision for me. They can tell me what to do and what not to do. This is what it means for me to accept that fact. Simple. When we look at the ayat of the Quran, there's one ayat I want to point out to. It's not, and it's repeated many times by many prophets. So you understand what this means. Prophet Nuh, Prophet Shu'aib, Prophet Lut, Prophet Saleh, all these prophets have mentioned this in the Quran. And they said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَتَعُونِ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَتَعُونِ. Fear Allah, because that's where you have to go, fear Allah, and obey me. You see, they didn't say fear Allah and obey Allah. They said fear Allah and obey me. This أَتَعُونِ is, you can say, the basis of the problem that people have with wilayats. With any wilayats. This is the problem. This is the issue that people have with wilayat, and it's a natural thing. And I want you to understand why it's natural. It's natural not to go along with it because, my friends, deen is hard, and deen under wilayat is harder. Religion is hard. The aspects of religion, obligations, furu'd-deen are hard. Prayer is hard. If anyone says it's easy, it's not. Wake up in the morning and pray, it's hard. It is difficult for us to do the obligations. Why? Because it comes in between our life and our plans, stops us, and makes us do something that we didn't plan for. We do it, right? So what happens is that deen is hard. But the statement I'm making is this: deen under wilayat is harder. I'm saying this in order for us to understand, what did Imam Khomeini revive? What did he bring to us that wasn't there before him? You see, we had deen. But what we didn't have is deen under wilayat. This is what he brought to us. He revived. And this is only understood by a few people. And let me explain that if you send a loud salawat. Simply put, Allah makes rules. Allah gives orders. Allah gives decrees, and He makes destinies. For example, I'm driving in the morning, I get into an accident. Allah decreed that. You're going to get into an accident. And what do these decrees do? They come in the way of our life and our plan, and they mess it up. We had a perfect day planned, and all of a sudden, some accident happened. Messes my life, you know, messes my day up. Decreed by Allah. See, this is a decree. A hukum. Allah just puts it there. He says, oh, you're having a good time here. Let me put some trouble in your plans. And all of a sudden, we see ourselves as, oh, look at this. What happened? And He does that. He does it so that we, to see, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Now these decrees or these rulings, sometimes Allah gives through His wali. Through His wali. And by wali, I mean either the prophet, either the imam, or the faqih. He gives this orders through His wali. So now when the wali gives an order, decree of Allah, it comes in the way of our plans. There are two jobs that a wali has. And I'm saying this so that first we can reach a conclusion here. The two jobs a wali has. One job he has is to protect the law. He's the guardian of the law. This is an easy job. But there's another role that he has, is to give ad hoc decisions. It's like, for example, a traffic cop. You know, a traffic cop, he has two jobs. One is to make sure that you don't break the laws that are in place. So, if you run a red light, or if you're speeding, he stops you, right? Now, people don't have an issue with that. They don't have an issue with that because they know the law is set, so they stop at a red light. They don't have a problem with that, even though stopping at a red light is stopping your motion. It is a hassle. It's cumbersome. You stop and then go. Stop at a stop sign and then go. It's a cumbersome. But still, people are okay with it. The second job of the cop is what they're, you know, what they have a problem with. What is the second job? Now the light is green. You can go. But the cop comes and says, stop. You see, now he says, stop. And you're like, it's green light, let me go. Why are you not letting me go? He says, no, stop. You see, following the cop in this situation is harder. It's more cumbersome. Why? Because he's saying something, doing something that goes against what the law has been set. This ruling, the second ruling that he gives, this cop is doing, this is what we call hukm-e-wilayi. This is called hukm-e-wilayi, meaning the ruling of a wali, meaning authority. He gives a ruling other than that which is in the books. Completely different. He says, do this. You see, this is where the problem of following a wali comes in. People have a hard time, and what they don't understand is that this is, for a believer, the most sweetest, the most beautiful experience he can ever have. All his life, a mu'min is waiting for him to obey Allah through wilayat. Follow the ruling of a wali. He's waiting all his life. Just one time, give me that opportunity that I can obey Allah through the wilayat of his wali. All his life is doing this. And this is the thing. You see, people have a problem with that. Someone came to Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salam. And he told them, listen, you know, we are ready to rise with you. You rise, we will come with you. We will do this. So Imam said, wait a minute. He says, Morna, Mawla, what's the problem? Why don't you call for jihad? We are ready for you. He said, are you sure you're willing to follow my command? He said, yes, I'm sure. He says, all right, you know, there was an incinerator, you know, oven, you know, where you cook bread and all that. Heater. He says, why don't you go inside that oven? The guy looked at that fire and said, what are you talking about? I know, we are ready for jihad for you. He said, all right, go into that oven of fire. Stand there. I can't do that. You can't do that? Go there. I'm telling you, right? I'm giving you a command. You see, this command is outside the book. It's outside the book. This is what we call hukm-e-wilayi. And then same Imam told a companion of his called, his name was Hasan Makki. He says, go there and sit there in the incinerator. He just walked in, sat there in the fire. You know that. The issue is that who's willing to follow that hukm that goes against what the normal preaching and teaching is? My friends, this is where those people who don't have faith go away, and this is where those people whose faith, they have faith in their hearts, are waiting for. This is the same thing that everything that Imam Ali did, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. You see, was trying to guard what the Prophet left behind. Really, who followed his wilayat? People didn't follow the wilayat of Ali. Why not? Because he never showed his wilayat. He didn't have the opportunity to show his wilayat. To show his authority, he never had that. It was very rare. And you know when that was found? When he showed his wilayat was shown when he told Malik Yashter, stop, do not kill. You see, Malik Yashter tasted the wilayat of Ali. You see, only true believers can taste it. He tasted the wilayat of Ali. You know, there was nothing at that moment more pleasurable for Malik than to listen to Ali and to his con. Other than that, what he was doing, he was guarding what was there for Islam. He was doing red light, speeding ticket. That's it. But to do what Ali says, this is what he was waiting for. You know, Imam Hassan, he gave hukm-e-wilayi. When he said, I will make sulah with with Muawiyah. I will make peace with Muawiyah. This was Hukme Wilayi. Now who was with him? It was difficult. Those Shias of Ali who grew up with Ali doing jihad all their lives could not understand this. They couldn't understand this. What are you doing? He says, peace treaty. Peace treaty. Your father never did that. Your dad never did that. You are a disgrace for us. Right? This is what they said, right? Ya mudilla al-mu'minin. Why did they do it? Because when the hukme wilayi came, when Imam Hassan showed his wilayat, that's when those people had the chance to taste it. And those failed. You know, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, rising up against Yazid was not showing his wilayat. Imam Hussein's stand against Yazid was not his wilayat. Really, it wasn't. Because that's something that everyone should have done. That's just following Islam. You see a drunkard, a person who doesn't believe in charge of the Muslims, you should be standing also. So what Imam Hussein did, standing up against Yazid, wasn't his wilayat. You know what was his wilayat? Where his wilayat was shown, and those who had the opportunity to taste it, were those people who found themselves in Karbala with him. That's where Imam Hussein showed his wilayat. And those who were able to stand with him until Karbala, they tasted his wilayat. They tasted his wilayat. You know, people in Karbala, with all the difficulties they had, with all the sufferings they went through, they were smiling. What are they smiling for? Why are you smiling for? He says, because now we get to obey Allah under the wilayat of his wali. This, my friend, is wilayat. It is a pleasure. Truly, it is a pleasure. You know, when the wali tells you something, gives you a command, gives you a ruling outside, shows his wilayat, now you have the chance. What do I do? What do I do now? You see, Abbas felt that pleasure of Imam Hussein's wilayat when Imam Hussein said, Abbas, do not fight. The Abbas felt that pleasure. You know, there's one person who really felt the pleasure of Imam Hussein's wilayat. And this is why, my friends, when I want you to understand this. We as believers must be looking for this opportunity to obey Allah under the wilayat of his wali. Because these are the people who feel it. People like Abbas, you know, or there's one person in Karbala that Imam Hussein, you know, because everyone in Karbala, Imam Hussein said, go, leave. You don't have to fight here. These people want to kill me. They don't want to kill you. You all go. Everyone he was asking to leave, but there's one person he asked to stay. There's one person he said, no, you stay. You don't go anywhere. I need you. Imagine what that person must have felt, that the wali is giving me a command to follow. You know who that person was? That was Zainab al-Kubra. Salawat. My friends, following the wali is a gift of Allah to those believers who pass all the trials and they make it to their Karbala. It's a gift for those. It's a boon Allah gives it. Here, take it. You want this? It's there for you. But you need to reach there. This is what it means. There's a love there for you to do that. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. My friends, this is what Imam Khomeini brought about. Now we have a chance and the opportunity to be under the Wali, to follow his command. Now we have the chance. Who's ready to follow it? Who's ready to do it? You know, one of the things that the Wali does, and this is the wilayat that we are trying to follow, when we have Ayatollah Khamenei right now, what does he do for us? This wilayat, this obedience to him, really is something that we have been trained for. This video that you had shown regarding Muslim ibn Aqil, I want to say something about that. Just a one point so that I want you all to understand this very well. You saw Muslim ibn Aqil being the wali of the Imam or the representative of the Imam being left alone. That was the idea of this. Right? That's the idea behind this. Let me make a statement for you, a very bold statement. And I have my proof for it. And I guarantee it. My friends, the representative of Imam Hussein was left alone to die. But I assure you, and I guarantee you, that will never happen again.
Labbaik ya Hussein!
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 And that is not because of the fact that we are better than they are. It's because of the fact that we are post-Karbala. They did have a Karbala to learn from. There's never again that will happen. Because if it happens again, it means Karbala failed. Karbala hasn't failed. This is why today, if the Wali rises up, you see how many are ready to give their lives in the thousands. If the Wali tells us that if no one is willing to stand up, I will stand up, how many of us are now broken by that statement? Hurt by that statement? My friends, where is this coming from? You are the children of Karbala. You are the students of Karbala. It cannot happen again. Never again would the Wali of Allah be left alone. And this is why. And you see this why. Let me just raise another issue here so that from here, inshallah, because I want to wrap things up and say some things that we all need to know and understand very well. So let's send a loud salawats. My friends, we are an ummah and we have a wali who is our leader. As I said, I'm speaking to our own people, so I don't need to prove wilayat al-faqih and all of that. I'm sure that should be already proven. And that's a discussion, you know, that is past. Now the idea is, how do we follow? What does it mean? This is what we need to know now. You see, you have a resource that never quits. It's always working. It's called your thinking. It's called your thinking, your aql. Your aql is always working. You don't need to tell it to work, it just works. You just think. As soon as you're awake, you start thinking. What's the time? Thinking about this, thinking about that. And this, your thinking, this aql, is a very important faculty and resource that you have. Very important faculty that you have, your aql, your intelligence, your thinking process, right? Now what happens is that everyone knows it. Allah knows it, obviously, and Shaitan also knows it. Our friends know it and our enemies know it. And so everyone is vying for your thoughts. They're vying to focus your thoughts on what they feel is important. Allah is trying to get your attention to think about certain things. Shaitan and his friends are trying to make you think about certain things. Both of them are fighting to get your attention. What is important in your mind? What is important in your mind? What are you thinking about? This, my friends, you see the media. What does the media do? It tries to control your thoughts. Give you food for thought. You want to think? Let us tell you what to think about. Let us tell you what to think about. Here, why don't you think about the tornadoes in Oklahoma? We'll show it to you, so when you look at it, you'll be like, hey, did you hear about that? Why are you saying that? Why are you speaking about that? Because that's what you have been told to think about. That's what you have been told to think about. Any incident that they want you to think about, that's what they give you. Why? Because they want your attention. They want you to use this resource and faculty on what they feel is important. And on the other hand, Allah also wants you to think about certain things. Through His wali tells you what to think about. If you heard the sermons of Hazrat Zainab, salawat ala Muhammad wa alihi, in Kufa, you would have had an image of what happened in Karbala, and your mind would have been focused to think that, oh, this is what happened, this is how I should think. Right? Your mind is being trained in a certain way to think. That's what Hazrat Zainab was doing. She was training the mind, okay, these are the issues to think about. That's what she was giving us. Now, if you heard the media of Bani Umayyah, you would have had a completely different picture. Completely different things of what are important. This is the war that's going on. What the wali does is that he tells you what to think of and what are important in your life and in the life of this ummah and this nation. This is what Ayatollah Khamenei does. What does he do? He tells us, listen, this is what's important in the ummah right now. Think about this. What should I think about? Quds or Baqi? Where should I pick my fight? Quds or Baqi? Ayatollah Khamenei will dictate us. He will dictate us. He said, no, think about Quds. That's where the fight is for the Ummah. This is where the fight is for the Ummah. Think about this. That's the issue right now. You see, why? Because you see what happened is this. Some things are important, but if raised at the wrong time, they become a distraction. If they're raised at the wrong time, they become a distraction. You know, for example, you're intensely in the fourth quarter of your basketball game, and everyone's like into the game right now, right? And the score is closed. And, you know, one of the guys said, hey, look at that clown over there. And the team looks at the clown. You know, now what happens is that the clown is a distraction. Takes your mind away from the game. You see, he might be very important. I'm just giving you a stupid example, but I'm saying to you. It might be important right now, you know, but right now, it's a distraction. This is what happens. Who's going to decide what is important and what is a distraction? If you all start doing that, you know what? There won't be anything important left. There won't be anything wrong. You say, oh, you know what? This is important. He says, he doesn't want, she says this is important. If we all start doing that, what happens at the end? Nothing remains important. Now it's not about what is important for Islam, it's about what's important to me. It becomes subjective. And it's finished. You know, for example, you go around in America, how America works among polls. You go there and you poll people, survey people. So what is important in your life? Oh, this is important, that's important, that's important. This is a society that has been completely taken over. Such a society. The ummah, it remains strong when there is leadership that focuses the attention on the, of the nation to things that are important for it. This is the reason why, for example, when we look at what's happening in the Muslim ummah, I'm not the one to decide. There's a wali who decides that for me. He's the one who tells me, you know what, this is for the ummah, this is why it's there. And if we have, my friends, we can't have two walis or three walis. Just like we can't have two guards or three guards, or two imams or three imams at the same time. We can't have that. Tell me, when Imam Ali was arrived, was Imam Hassan capable of being the imam? He was capable. He had all the qualities that Imam Ali had, right? So he's capable of being the imam. But was he the imam at the time Imam Ali was alive? No, he wasn't. It doesn't mean others are not capable. It means we can only have one. We can only have one. Why? Because if we have two, then the ummah will have two focuses then. It will be divided. My friends, we see that what the message of Ayatollah Khamenei is about unity. Well, that. Why is it important? Yes, you know what? The companions of Imam, you know, we see the companions of Prophet did wrong. Some of them did wrong. Okay, great. They did this, they did that. It's all great. We have that. But you know what happens? Is it important to be raised right now? What's more important right now? Listen, bring the people together. Why? Because there's an enemy that's out to kill Shias and Sunnis. You think that you're going to survive? That they will let you be? No. They're after you. In fact, they're after you more than them. Because they've already declared that the Islam that we fear the most is the Islam that has this issue and this obedience to Wali Faqih. So if the enemy has decided that, why aren't we able to decide that? So this is behind us. Right now, my friends, we need to understand the issues that Imam Khomeini brought to us was this wilayat again. The sweetness. Deen is hard. Prayer is hard, you know. Jihad is hard. Fighting is hard. Struggle is hard. But you know what makes it good? You know what makes it beautiful? You know what makes it sweet? What makes the, you know, your prayer sweet? What makes struggle sweet? Look in the past and you'll know it. This issue. What is the issue? The issue of wilayat. You know what makes it sweet? Deen is hard. Don't tell me deen is not hard. It's easy for me to pray and this and that. No, it's not. It's hard. It's hard. You have to break your plans, break your days, start praying. And don't get the wrong ideas that we are praying for spirituality. Brothers, look in the whole Quran. Look in the whole Quran and tell me where in the Quran the word spirituality is used. These are misguided concepts of Sufism that have crept into Islam. There's no spirituality in Islam. Which, do you know the Arabic word for spirituality? The closest word we find in the Quran towards spirituality is called Ruhbaniyat. Ruhbaniyat are the rabbis and the monks that are condemned in the Quran for going after spirituality. My friends, we don't go after spirituality, we go after the pleasure of Allah. In other words, you know what that means? We don't pray to please ourselves, we pray to please Allah. This is what our goal is. I don't pray to feel good, I want to pray so that Allah can feel good about me. This is our goal. So now when that is the concept and what we are running after, don't go after these false things. Go after the rightful things. Imam Khomeini, he gave life. He gave life to us to come towards obedience. Not by planning it, not by doing it. Because I heard some of the people say this, right? So I'm rectifying this so that we can clarify. My friends, Imam Khomeini did not plan to free you. Imam Khomeini did not plan to liberate you. All Imam Khomeini did was liberated himself. He freed himself. He became a free man, and that was the beacon for us to yearn for freedom. He did it. He wanted to be free, and he freed himself. And once he was free, we looked at him and said, look, a free man. That's how it looks like. That's how a free man looks like. That's how a liberated mind looks like. And we're like, that could happen to me. It could happen to me also. You see, this is how it happened, my friends. Islamic movement is not something that we plan. No, Allah is the planner. All we plan to do is please Allah. That's it. And that's what Imam Khomeini did. And you know what? He affected people. Let me tell you a story. If you send a loud salawats. You know, in the time of the Shah was planning all kinds of things, you know, like against Imam Khomeini and this and that, right? One of the things, you know, for example, they would say that, listen, we need to do something to make Imam Khomeini look bad. Make him look bad. So, what should we do? So they planned, one of the things that they planned to do was to do something wrong and blame it on Imam Khomeini. So they went to this criminal, a criminal thug, a hired thug. They went to him and said, listen, we want to hire you for something. He said, what do you want? He says, listen, you know, you just go out and do something wrong, create riots, something wrong, burn stores, and we'll get you arrested. And when you're arrested, then when they ask you, who made you do this, you say, Khomeini did. I work for Khomeini. He was all right with everything until he heard the name of Imam Khomeini. He says, I can't do that. He says, all fine, I can't do that. He said, why not? He says, because you know what? I'm a bad person, I know that. I'm a criminal, I do these things. But this is the son of Fatima. The son of Fatima, and I'm not going to be responsible for doing that. I'm not going to do that. I said, you are a criminal. Who cares about you? I mean, what do you care about these things? Right? Thank you. What do you care about these things? I said, it's all right. You know, I can't do that. They said, listen, if you don't do it, right, we're going to put you in jail. Listen to that. And he refused to do that. He refused to do anything wrong in the name of Imam Khomeini. And Imam Khomeini wasn't even charged then. He was just an alim in the Hawza. They took him to jail, they put him in jail, and then they start persecuting him, torturing him, doing all kinds of things. This story was related by his brother. His brother went to meet him in the jail. He went to see him in jail. This guy was a criminal, a big guy, a hireling, a big guy, right? He went to meet him in jail, and this guy in jail, his brother, was so badly beaten up and tortured that he was like about to die. finished, he was about to die. And his brother said, "What's wrong with you? What's going on?" He said, "I think it's time for prayers. I think, you know, we should stop. In 1 minute, we're going to stop the..." Just this last incident, right? This person was about to die, and he said, "You know, what do you want?" He asked his brother, who was dying. The brother said, "You know what? I don't know. I've done many things wrong in my life. But this is something right that I've done, and I feel it's right. I just want to tell you something." He said, "What do you want?" He said, "Just go and tell Khomeini. Just go and tell him that I have done all this, and I'm ready to die now. I just want his shafaat on the Day of Judgment. Just want his shafaat on the Day of Judgment." He came. The brother came to Imam Khomeini, related to him what happened. He related to what happened. "This is what happened to my brother, and he died." And Imam Khomeini, he said that he doesn't need shafaat. He has done good himself. My friends, when you are under the wali and stand up for your wali and die for it, really, this is the outcome. One last incident I'll tell you so that we remember Imam Khomeini, who he was. Ayatollah Gulbaigani, the night Imam Khomeini died, that morning, he was sleeping, and in his sleep, he had a dream. Let me relate that dream to you that he related. Ayatollah Gulbaigani, who led the prayers for Imam Khomeini, he had this dream. And in that dream, that night, the same night Imam Khomeini died, that morning he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw the Prophet, he saw the Imams, and he saw all the Prophets standing, and they're waiting for someone. And then he saw Imam Khomeini going towards them. And each one of them, the Prophet and the Imams, hugged him. They kissed him. And he was like looking at this dream and this light, all this light, and Imam Khomeini in the midst of them, and they were kissing him. He woke up and he called. He called the house to see what's going on. "I had this dream." And they said, "Imam Khomeini just passed away." And this Imam Khomeini is truly someone that we and our children need to know about more. So that when we know that this is a really champion of humanity and a hero of Islam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path, the wisdom to understand his guidance, hasten the reappearance of our Imam, make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Takbir.